There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't yet. When the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die, while you're alive, where am I? When I die,
Shanti. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopasya param drishtva nivartante. Aspirants may restrain the senses from their objects of enjoyment, but the taste for the sense objects remain. However, even this taste ceases for those who realize the Supreme. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse number 59. The aspirants struggle with object of senses and the taste remains. It will continue to stay till the time the param drishtva nivartante, till the highest is realized. The lower remains till the higher is understood. The lower confuses. This is the journey of a sadhak. He tries to struggle, to fight, tooth and nail, with lower pleasures. But they don't go. They will go only and only Param Drishtva Nivartante, unless and until the higher, the supreme, the transcendental is realized, they stay. They do not cease. This is the journey from lower to the higher, from lesser light to the higher light. And in this journey, the sense object, they keep disturbing. Vishaya vinivartante. No matter how much somebody is practicing, restrained, niraha rasya dehinaha, he might be fasting, he might be giving trouble to the body, jasavarjam, but still this taste remains. Rasopasya, unless and until he achieves the highest, Param Drishtva Nivartante, the lower cannot go. As we march into the day 19 of this 21-day series on the pure life, we will see something even more deeper. Why people fail to get rid of the addictions. Somebody is smoking, somebody is drinking alcohol. They give up, but after some time, the addictions come back. There is a chance of relapse. It's a very deep philosophy or psychology to understand why this happens. The human mind cannot remain in the state of vacuum. If you take away all the stimulations, if you take away all the addictions, if you take away all the pleasures that a person is enjoying, where is going to go? That's why suppression leads to psychological disorders. The universe knows the law of substitution. The universe obeys the law of substitution. If you take away something, it should be replaced by something. If you take away the pleasures of the senses, it has to be supplanted by something higher. And if you fail to do that, the result is frustration, guilt, emptiness. A child is playing with his doll. And if you snatch away that doll, what will happen? The child will start crying. He will be shouting. He will be irritable. So what is the method? You have to give that child a bigger toy. You have to give that child something higher. This is called the law of substitution. If you take away the visual thrills, the lustful fantasies, if you take away the sense pleasure, where will man go? He'll be frustrated, which is why this law of substitution becomes all the more relevant. And also it is visible. If you take away the sensual pleasures, they should be substituted by super sensuous pleasures. This is the simple rule. There are different words in English language. One is pleasure. Second is happiness, joy, and bliss. These are the four words. Pleasure is the lowest. It comes from something external, something outside, some external touch, some external thrill. Through the five senses. It is dependent and it is purely sensual. You feel pleasure. If you eat something good, if you touch something, you feel pleasure. You listen to something, you feel pleasure. You smell something, you feel pleasure. Above pleasure is happiness. This is more psychological. You help someone, you feel happy. You do service, you feel happy. But still other is involved there. Because you are doing something for someone else. So this happiness, this operates at the level of body. This operates a little higher at the level of mind. It involves both mind, body and mind. Tan, man, tanu and manu. So this tanu and manu, it's a combination of both. The third is joy. This is not physical. This is not even psychological. This is coming from the soul. This is the nature of the soul. Joy. External stimulus is not needed. You sit in meditation and you experience joy. You're not trying to please anyone. You're not trying to help anyone. So joy is spiritual. Pleasure is physical. Happiness is psychological. Joy belongs to the arena of the spirit. Now what is bliss? Bliss is something higher. Bliss comes to you in the state of enlightenment. It is the highest. Param Anand. It is absolutely independent. It is the very core. It is the very nature. It is the ultimate, penultimate reality. Quintessential nature of the soul. the highest blessing, the ultimate benediction of the universe. When you are blissful, for no reason, somebody is sitting in meditation, the others may think he is just sitting. He is so lonely. Bliss is the state of fulfillment. Bliss is the state of completeness. Bliss is wholeness. Bliss is the highest state of existence. Bliss is what Buddha attained after enlightenment. Bliss is permanent. Happiness, pleasures, they come and they go. Happiness may come and go. Joy you achieve only when your stage is very good. When you have meditated very nicely at Amrit Vela. Extremely powerful Amrit Vela of 3 hours. You feel joy. But bliss is still far away. Bliss is permanent state. Of enlightenment. So the law of substitution says, if you want to replace the lower, if you want something, if you want to get rid of the lower, you need to replace it with something higher. Then only it will work. Somebody is addicted to screen. Somebody is addicted to digital visual stimuli. Somebody is addicted to visual thrills, to shorts and reels, to view counts and subscriptions, which has absolutely nothing to do with your spiritual personality. So if you take away that, and if you don't supplant it with something, the result would be emptiness, hollowness. So you need to replace it with meditation, nature, love, wholeness, awareness, some creative work. There was a time when a cobbler used to feel so proud after creating a pair of slippers because it is his own creation. A potter feels so happy after creating a pot. A painter feels so happy after creating a painting. A poet falls in love with his own poetries. A singer loves to sing his own songs. This is real creativity. Nowadays, the world is artificial. The intelligence is artificial. Absolutely superficial, phony, fake. Where are the creations? The real creations. So lower pleasure has to be replaced by something higher. And creativity is one of the most beautiful things. The second is the grand nourishment. Somebody is addicted to eating. Junk. Now you cannot tell that person stop this. If he stops that, he will suffer from withdrawal symptoms. His body will crave because he is addicted to the junk. He wants that. He might do for some days because somebody has told him. Now he is having some sickness, some illness. That's why. But he cannot follow that for a long time. He is waiting when to start his regular meals after the illness. And they keep on asking 100 times when I am to start my normal meals. They are restless. This is the period of exile for them. This is the period of punishment. They are in the prison of diet. Once all the reports are normal, they can resume their junk business. Meditation is the supreme nourishment, the highest nourishment. You fill yourself with divine bliss, with supreme prana, with love of God. This is the feeling of love which cannot be described. It is indescribable. In one of the poems, Percivus Shelley says, "One word is too often profaned for me to profane it." There is one word in this world which is mostly misused. It is defamed, and that word is love. This love is such a beautiful word. It has fallen in wrong hands. "One feeling too falsely disdained for thee to disdain it." This feeling, this emotion is so higher that it has been misused, misinterpreted. Every Tom, Dick or Harry keeps on using this word love. I love you, I love you, I love you. They do not know even ABCD of love. "One hope is too like despair for prudence to smother, and pity for thee more dear that than that from other. I cannot give what men call love, but wilt thou accept not the worship? The worship the heart lifts above, and the heavens reject not the desire of the moth for the star, of the night for the morrow, devotion to something afar from the spear of our sorrow." He says to the person whom he loves, he says, "I do not love you the way worldly people love. My love is not wanting anything. My love is not possessive. It's so pure. I invite you. I pray to you to come into this world of love. I know it is impossible, the desire of the moth for the stars, for the night, for the morrow, devotion to something afar from the sphere of our sorrow. I know it's very difficult," the poet says, "but yet I want to offer you this love. My love is not selfish. My love is not possessive. It is love for love's sake. It doesn't want your body in return. It doesn't want your care and attention in return. It just is." It is the feeling, ehsaas. Don't touch it and pollute it. Haath se chhu ke ise rishto ka ilzam na do. Don't touch it and give it any name. This word is so pure. Don't try to even handle it. It's an absolutely pure word. It's the feeling, it's the emotion. So replace everything which is lower, your passions, your vasanas, your attractions, with this love, the highest form, the purest energy in this world, in this universe. So love is nourishment. Happiness is nourishment. And the third is sovereign demand. Sensation versus bliss. Sensations are cheap. They are very cheap. They are temporary. They operate at a very lower level. And bliss is so higher. Sensations are temporary, bliss is permanent. Sensations are cheap, bliss is costly. Sensations, they come and they go and they are dependent on touch, on some visual stimuli, on something higher, on something lower. Bliss is absolutely independent. It is. Sensations are ugly. Bliss is beautiful. Sensation is earth. Bliss is the sky. Sensation makes you contracted. Bliss is expansion. Sensation is like a pond, stagnated. Bliss is the ocean. Bliss is the flowing air, while sensation is the suffocated puff of smoke. So unless and until we substitute the lower with higher, we cannot de-addict ourselves. People are addicted to social media. If you tell them they want to check their mobile every 5 minutes, they want to scroll, use random apps, check, see. Because the attention span is very small. The mind wants thrills. One thrill, another thrill, third thrill. Mind is stimulated. There's an external stimulation, the blind stimulations. How do we replace this? This is an addiction. Mind wants to call somebody and talk and ask and type and message. Because it has become absolutely extrovert. When you realize the source of joy, the fountain of bliss is within you, automatically, these things fall down like withered leaves. Param drishtva nivartante. Gita says, once the param, the highest, the supreme is realized, drishtva, then only these pleasures, nivartante, they will cease only and only when you seek the highest, the supreme, the greatest. Do not settle for anything lower than the super sensuous bliss. This is a business deal. Why you want something lower when you are getting something higher? That's why Baba says in Murli, the businessmen during the days of festival stay awake throughout the night. Why? Profit. So man's mind is a businessman's mind. It is expert in dealings. This is the greatest deal. This is the highest deal. This is the biggest business. What you give me and what I give you. You give me your vices. And Baba says, I give you super sensuous bliss. And this is the highest bliss. So, do not fight. Do not suppress the desires, the addictions, the fantasies. Watch them as a witness. Churn, think, analyze them. Analyze their nature, what they want, what the mind wants. Mind wants, the real hunger is for wholeness. The real hunger is for bliss. These are the substitutions, all the lower joys. When there is nothing, we go and eat something. There is nothing, we go and search something. Call someone. Or if at all there is nothing, we think of some disease and imagine that I am having that disease. hypochondriacs. These are the people who have tortured doctors across the world. They keep on coming every time to doctors with their 100 diseases, and there is no cure. And they feel as if they are suffering from something. About 30 to 40% of this world population suffers from hypochondria. They are hypochondriac. And whenever there is some epidemic, they offer the greatest participation. They are the first ones to show the symptoms. You are standing and somebody comes and says you, "You look pale." And you say, "No, I am healthy. I am absolutely enjoying health." And that person goes away, again looking at you. Then the next person comes and he says, "What happened? You're looking so pale. Are you having some weakness, some disease or fever? Now you are not that much confident." And you say, "Yes, I am feeling weak. My health is not good. Some fever. A fever that is never recorded on in is never recorded." The person says, "Should I drop you at home? It's better you take a taxi, don't walk." And you feel, "Yes, I am weak, I should not walk." He says, "Better take an ambulance and go to the hospital." He says, "Yes, of course. I must go to the hospital." So these are the hypochondriacs. They suffer from everything. And they have no cure. Allopathy is the only scientific treatment in the whole world. But yet, it has been found that people get cured by all the pathies of the world. Why? Probably the disease is not real. So, the crux is higher taste, higher consciousness. When you achieve this, everything which is below disappears. Vishaya nivartante niharasya dehinah rasavarjam rasopasya param drishtva nivartante. Om Shanti.
As a human, I live in a body made of flesh, bones, and blood of the earth. There's a fire and water within me, and the air that I breathe of the world. And I know deep within me, I live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. I live on and on. But I don't yet know where the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me, you live on and on. waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die.